Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. On this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have an amazing sex life. You can suggest topics for future podcasts by going to pleasuremechanics.com, where you'll find a complete podcast archive over 130 episodes and counting. When you're ready to master new erotic skills, check out our online multimedia courses. They're designed to help you master new skills in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. And we cover everything from couples massage to foreplay mastery to erotic spanking and more. Check them out at pleasuremechanics.com and use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. As you know, Friday episodes are usually a conversation between fellow pleasure mechanic Charlotte and I. This week we're going to do something a little different, and it's a special episode, sadly, because this week the sex education community lost a beloved member, Candida Royale. She was a true pioneer and leader in our field, and Candida was also a dear friend and inspiring mentor for many of us, including us here at the Pleasure Mechanics. We owe everything we do to the legacy of Candida Royale and the other pioneers of sex-positive feminism. And so I wanted to share a little bit with you about this history of sex positivity, and I think it's essential to understand the history of the sex positive movement to fully grasp not only Candida Royale's contribution to sex culture as we know it, but also how Charlotte and I can even do our work in today's day and age. We only exist because of the legacy of those who came before us, so I thought it essential to share this history with you in tribute to Candida Royale's life, which ended this week, September 2015, after a long struggle with ovarian cancer. And so as we're mourning her and celebrating her life simultaneously, I had the opportunity to really reflect on the legacy she left and the fact that I only do what I do because of her work and the work of her friends, who directly influenced me, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But here is the history of it. So in the 1970s, a debate began brewing amongst feminist thinkers and activists. This debate escalated into what is now known as the feminist sex wars or the porn wars. On one side were anti-porn feminists, and on the other, sex-positive feminists. For many years, most feminist theory took a decidedly anti-sex stance on issues of pornography, prostitution, sadomasochism, and even private sexual relationships. In response to thousands of years of patriarchal sexual oppression, the first feminist response was to shut down sexuality altogether, especially commercial sexuality like pornography. It was suggested that celibacy and androgyny were logical solutions to the exploitation of sexuality. In the United States, the anti-pornography movement was formalized with the founding of Women Against Violence in Pornography and Media in 1977 and the first Take Back the Night March in 1978. Feminist thinkers like Andrea Dworkin and Catherine MacKinnon drafted several documents calling for the criminalization of pornography. Robin Morgan stated their core belief as, quote, pornography is the theory, rape is the practice, end quote. And many anti-porn feminists declared that all sex was based on male violence. In the late 1970s, however, another voice began to rise and assert that sexuality could be a positive force for women's liberation. This camp, which included the pioneers of the sex-positive movement, focused on the importance of free speech and expression for all women, including those who wanted to express themselves as sexual beings. Sex-positive feminism arose from the idea that women's bodies and choices belong to the women themselves and shouldn't be controlled by the morality of anyone else, including other women. When it came to pornography, sex-positive feminists boldly claimed that the solution was not no pornography, but rather better porn. They challenged the idea that all sexuality was patriarchal and violent by nature, and instead started talking about female pleasure, orgasm, and masturbation. They began educational circles where women discussed sexuality and learned about sexual pleasure. Betty Dodson spearheaded teaching women about masturbation, while other women took up activism around lesbianism and sadomasochism. In the early 80s, a group of women in New York City started thinking about how to bring their feminist and sex-positive values to the pornography industry. These women included Candida Royale and Annie Sprinkle. The clash between the anti-porn feminists and the sex-positive feminists was intense. Anti-porn feminists would stage demonstrations and protests outside of feminist conferences and theaters showing pornography, and the attacks often got deeply personal. Clearly, we here at Pleasure Mechanics identify more with the sex-positive feminist camp and are in a direct lineage with these early pioneers. But all of the questions about the role of porn, prostitution, and commercial sexuality are just as relevant today, and there are no easy answers. We must continue to have conversations and explore what the future of these industries might look like with the highest good of all humans in the forefront of our minds. Candida Royale, who died this week, was part of that small group of women who began exploring the notion of feminist pornography in the 1980s. She performed in about 25 pornographic films over 5 years before retiring from performing and taking her place behind the camera as a producer and director. Her goal was to create couple-friendly porn that women would enjoy watching alongside their partners. Remember, she was the first to explore this genre, which today is a huge industry. The industry at the time laughed at her, and she struggled to find distribution for her films. Yet she persisted, creating films that emphasized foreplay, romance, women's pleasure, and authentic depictions of female orgasm. In 1984, Royale started Femme Productions, considered by many to be the first feminist porn production studio. Later, she turned her gaze on the sex toy industry and created the first line of sex toys designed to be ergonomic and women-friendly, called Natural Contours. Both her couples pornography and ergonomic sex toys are now widely copied throughout the industry. And in 1992, she was a founding member of Feminists for Free Expression. Candida Royale was a visionary, and it's only because her ideas have been so widely adopted that we can so easily forget her contributions. The core ideas of porn that couples can enjoy together, porn that depicts authentic women's pleasure, films that take time to build up to a climax other than the money shot, are all Candida's contributions to the sex-positive media movement. Meanwhile, her writing and educational efforts contributed just as much to the efforts to teach about female sexual pleasure and emphasize sexuality as a positive, healthy force in our lives. For her contributions, we all must be grateful, whether or not we watch porn, whether or not we use sex toys, because she truly changed the dialogue about sexuality in our country. One of Candida Royale's best friends and collaborators is Annie Sprinkle. They were both part of Club 90, a feminist porn star support group that brought together the core group of sex-positive feminists in friendship and mutual support. And while Annie Sprinkle's story is the subject of an entire different podcast, for us personally, it's important to mention her. I met Annie through my sex-positive work at Vassar College, and she generously invited me to come work with her in San Francisco, so I eagerly drove cross-country and rang her doorbell. She welcomed me with open arms, and I started collaborating with her on different projects, and eventually she introduced me to her dear friend Joseph Kramer, who gave me my first job after college. Joe was the founder of the Body Electric School, who formalized the practice of erotic massage during the AIDS crisis. Again, another discussion for another time. But working with Joe, he sent me to massage school where I learned both traditional massage and erotic massage, and we collaborated on my first sex education video projects. I also helped him develop and teach the sexological bodywork program at the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, which is eventually where I met Charlotte. And meanwhile, I continue to work with Annie Sprinkle on various projects, and we remain friends to this day. Our work here at Pleasure Mechanics is part of this direct lineage from the earliest pioneers of sex-positive feminism, and we're so grateful for all those who laid the tracks before us. We hope to continue their legacy of creating a more positive and pleasurable sex culture for us all. So in memory of Candida Royale, and in thanks to all of the pioneers of sex-positive feminism, I wanted to share this bit of history with you, so you can understand the context through which we do this work and can have these conversations week after week. because it is no small thing to talk about sex and pleasure, to explore how to enjoy sexuality more on our own terms, to shed guilt and fear and the other roadblocks that hold us all back, and to envision a world where sexuality is a positive force for us all, and not a tool of oppression, not a tool of violence. Because this is the legacy from which we are emerging out of, is this sexual history of violence and oppression. And 35 years after the first conversations about sex-positive feminism arose, we are still wrestling with these questions of how do we create a better sex culture? What does that look like for us, both personally and as a culture at large? Thank you for being part of the Pleasure Mechanics community by listening to this podcast and supporting our work and exploring pleasure in your own life. You are part of the global movement of sex positivity. So welcome on board. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next Wednesday for another Just the Tip episode. I'm Chris from PleasureMechanics.com, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. Cheers.